This is an interview with Marshall Rieger, who served with the Army with Company B with the 11th Combat Engineers right after the Korean War from April of 1957 to 1959. This interview is being conducted at the Mount Horeb Public Library on April 10th, 2014, with Jessica Williams. So we'll begin by talking about your background and life circumstances before entering the military. Okay. So when were you born? What was your hometown?
Okay, I was born in Hayward, Wisconsin in 1937.
Okay.
And in June of 37. And shortly after being born in Hayward, I moved to Winter. My dad was a state employee, and he was a forest ranger for the Department of Natural Resources, or the old WCD, Wisconsin Conservation Department.
Okay.
In 1939, we moved to Winter, and I grew up in Winter, and I graduated from Winter High School in 1955.
Okay.
In 1955, I decided I was going to go to college. Mm-hmm. I went to college, and I had a good time going to college. And after 2 years of having a good time going to college, I decided it was a waste of my time and a waste of the teacher's time, me going to college. Mm-hmm. So I decided if I was going to get straightened out and mm-hmm. quit being a wild kid, mm-hmm. I was going to go in the Army.
Mm-hmm.
So I went down, and they said, you can enlist for 3 years. Mm-hmm. And I says, no, I'm not staying for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I finally got them to accept me in the reserves
mm-hmm.
for 2 years of active duty, 2 years of active reserves,
okay.
and 2 years of inactive reserves. Wow. So it was a six-year enlistment. And in October of 1957,
mm-hmm.
I went to Camp Carson, mm-hmm. Colorado. I went through basic there. Mm-hmm. And in January of 58, then, I was transferred to Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
And I went through an 8-week equipment operators course where I learned to run bulldozers, road graders,
mm-hmm.
and mostly keep coal in the stove so we didn't freeze to death.
Mm-hmm.
In March, then, when we got out of school, we were just sitting there waiting for orders, and,
mm-hmm.
and they came in with a list of orders for guys going to Europe, and went down the list so far, or of course, the alphabetical list.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time it got to me, I got to go to Korea. And most of the guys that I went with weren't very happy about going to Korea because they knew it wasn't a very nice place to go,
mm-hmm.
and it wasn't Europe anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I made up my mind I was going to go and have a good time and
mm-hmm.
and enjoy it. And I did.
Mm-hmm.
I did. We went to San Francisco. We were there probably a week processing to go to overseas. We got on a very small troop ship. We went to we took a tour. We went to Alaska. We went to the Aleutian Islands.
Mm-hmm.
We stopped at Kodiak and let off a bunch of Seabees, you know, a dozen or so Seabees. We went out to Adak, and when we got out to Adak, we let off a few more.
Mm-hmm.
Adak is the very end of the Aleutian chain.
Mm-hmm.
It was spring.
Mm-hmm.
It was horrible weather. Mm-hmm. There were probably 10 of us on the boat that didn't get sick.
Oh.
And really, really seasick. Uh-huh. My good buddy, Corporal Smith from Texas, I remembered tying him in his bunk so that he wouldn't fall out.
Oh.
And the vomit was probably 6 to 12 inches on the floor of the ship, and it was a tough ride, but we did it. We went 8 miles one day, and the next day we went 12 in one of those storms, and it took us 29 days to get to Japan.
Wow.
Got off in Japan, we got processed, got back on the ship, we went to Busan, and got off in Busan, where they had made the big landing with MacArthur, and when we got off there, the very absolute very first thing that I saw, and for a kid from northern Wisconsin, was a lady breastfeeding a pair of baby pigs.
Wow.
I never forgot that as long as I left. I was just dumbfounded. I stood there and I couldn't. And everything stunk and everything was filthy dirty. And oh my God, we always said if you took an American baby over there and put him in that mud, he'd be dead in a week.
Oh.
It was that dirty, filthy dirty.
So that's why you were there, to help clean up.
All right. So when we got there, then we got off. We went through Seoul, because it isn't too far. It's a short distance to Seoul. And we kept going north and in a convoy.
Mm-hmm.
And when we got to about 6 miles south of Panmunjom, there were three of us left in the convoy, three guys, and the three of us got off there. And I was at Company B, 11th Combat Engineers. And I went to work running bulldozer, and that's what we did every day. We ran bulldozer, and we pushed rock into rock crushers, and we built roads, and then they were looking for a road grader guy, and I said, I'll run the grader. So I run the grader, and I got to grade the road from that little compound where we were. We were the only company in that compound. There was 140 of us. And we graded that road from that compound up to Panmunjom. When we got to the DMZ, to the line, then two Chinese soldiers got in the grader with me, one on each side of me with a gun. And then I could grade the road from there to over to the where the peace talks were going on.
Wow.
They're still going on. You know, this is 50 years ago. And it's, so, you know, it's real active sometimes, and then it just dies out. And they never change anything, you know. It just keeps going.
So Chinese soldiers and not Korean soldiers?
No, they were Chinese then. In those days. Well, you know, when the Chinese said, when they went to the Yimjin River with the advance, and MacArthur wanted to go across the line into China and wipe them out is what he wanted to do. And that's when him and Truman got in a big fight, and so they fired him and they sent him home. But anyway,
I'm gonna brush up on my history.
it's in that poster. Quite a bit of it's in that little poster there. The in the middle of the fall, then we moved and we just, you know, picked up our camp and we left the Katusas there, the Korean soldiers assigned to the USA Army. And we left them there to take over and do that work at that point. And we went to a different base where there was a whole battalion in one spot. And it was near Weijanbu, and that's about all I can tell you. And about that time, the motor sergeant had the air hose on his grease gun blow up and put grease through his hand, and nobody wanted to be the motor sergeant. Mm-hmm. So they said, well, you're only a spec four, mm-hmm. but if you want to run the motor pool, you run the motor pool. So that's what I ended up doing. I ran the motor pool. I had six Korean mechanics working for me, mm-hmm. and we serviced all of the vehicles for that company, mm-hmm. at Ordnance 1 and Ordnance 2, mm-hmm. and I spent the rest of my time in that motor pool. It had some real nice perks with it. I lived alone. Mm-hmm. I never stood another parade. I never stood another thing, mm-hmm. but I ran the motor pool, and I ran those four Korean civilians, mm-hmm. who were mechanics. Mm-hmm. And if you want to see a kid panic, you should have saw me the day I walked out there, and here's four Koreans, and they got a transmission out of a 2.5-ton truck, mm-hmm. automatic transmission, and they had every part laid out on the floor. I said, you guys are never going to get that together. And they did.
Wow.
And they fixed it besides that.
Huh.
You know, it's other than that, mm-hmm. we ran rock crushers, we mm-hmm. built bridges, we built, you know, if it had to be done, we did it. Mm-hmm. When I got there, we were on mud roads. When I left there, we were on rock crushed roads, mm-hmm. some of them.
Mm-hmm.
I think my memories of the people, mm-hmm. Were, I don't know, I really enjoyed them because I had the four of them working for me.
Mm-hmm.
They made me part of their family at home.
Mm-hmm.
And by golly, I enjoyed that. Mm-hmm. I really did. I learned a lot about different cultures. And, you know, a kid from northern Wisconsin didn't know a lot when he left home.
Mm-hmm.
And when he come home, he wasn't too bad a kid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I guess that's about it. I was, you know, I stayed there for a year, 12 months,
uh-huh.
a little longer, and I got on the USS. I flew, if I remember right, from Korea to Japan.
Mm-hmm.
I got on the USS Man.
Mm-hmm.
We came home to Seattle, and it was a huge ship coming home. Mm-hmm. We had like 1,400 soldiers on there that were coming home. And I got off at Seattle, and we went home for 30-day leave. And because I had quite a bit of time left in my 2-year enlistment, they sent me to Camp Walters, Texas.
Okay.
And Camp Walters was about 90 miles west of Dallas-Fort Worth. And I went down there. We were attached to a helicopter school. They were teaching these young guys to fly helicopters, and they all ended up in Vietnam, of course, afterwards. See?
Yeah.
It was getting close,
yeah.
And we didn't know it. But they were just training guys left and right for helicopter school. Hmm. And I built landing pads for helicopters.
Hmm. So how many months were you in Texas then?
Too long.
Too long.
I got there the 1st of June of 59.
Uh-huh.
I had my winter uniform on, wool uniform on from Korea.
Oh.
It was 104 or 105 degrees, and I don't think it ever got less than that the whole time. And we ran bulldozers.
Mm-hmm.
In Korea, you know, it was cold in the winter of 58, 59. Mm-hmm. That winter was just a super cold winter. And the only way I kept warm that winter is I slept on my bulldozer.
Oh, my gosh.
We slept right on top of the tracks.
Mm-hmm.
because of the heat, and we'd hang the tent over the edge of the thing. And it was nice and warm. Mm-hmm. But I'm deaf today because of it, but from the noise, you know.
Kept you alive.
Yeah, I kept us going.
Yeah.
You know, that isn't much, but it's...
Well, let's back up a little bit.
All right.
Were you an only child? Did you have brothers
and sisters? Oh, no, I have one sister. My sister is 2 years younger than I am.
Okay.
And she's in San Diego.
Okay.
Her husband worked for the defense people, and mm-hmm. and that's about it.
Okay. Yeah. And then when you enlisted in the service... did you have any kind of memories from basic training that jumped out at you? Any funny stories?
No, there wasn't much fun.
No.
Halfway through in that real dry air in the mountains, because we were in Colorado, right there at Fort Carson, and I got pneumonia, first time ever, and I was really, really sick. And when they, when Christmas leave came, mm-hmm. you know, you could go for 10 days or something at Christmas. I was in the hospital.
Uh-huh.
And the doctor told me, he says, he knew I couldn't walk very far. He says, if you can get to that train station, he says, I'll let you go on leave.
Uh-huh.
So I got in a wheelchair, and I went to the elevator. I went down the elevator. I got to the telephone, and I called a cab. And a cab came on base and got me and took me to the train station. I was going home, and I did. I rode the train from there to Minneapolis, got off in Minneapolis, and there stands a girl that I graduated from high school with.
Mm-hmm.
She says, I'm waiting for my husband.
Hmm.
And she says, we're going to winter. And I says, well, by God, I'm riding with you.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had a ride home. My folks didn't know I was coming.
Oh, they didn't that worked know. Out good.
Yeah.
So were you sick the whole time you were home?
No, not quite. Yeah. I didn't do much.
Yeah.
But I was terribly weak.
Oh.
But So then, you know, we got out of there right about the middle of January,
mm-hmm.
and we went to Fort Leonard Wood,
mm-hmm.
Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
And muddy, miserable, froze at night,
mm-hmm.
all mud in the day. Mm-hmm. And that was a bad spot, too. I just, you know, bad weather.
Mm-hmm.
And we had coal-fired barracks. Mm-hmm. I've mentioned that before, and that's what we did. We filled them. Everybody took
mm-hmm.
2 hours at night. At night, you had to fill your
stove.
The guy that slept, the rest of us froze. If the guy that kept the thing full, we were in good shape.
Uh-huh.
huh. So, yeah, no, I can't think much good about basic. I'll tell you what I did do, though. Basic training taught you to conform,
mm-hmm.
and it taught you to follow orders. And for a wild kid out of the Northwoods, it was really a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
It was.
Mm-hmm.
I would look. I'll admit to it. Mm-hmm. But today.
Mm-hmm. Now. Did you make any friends that you kept throughout the time you were in the service, or any stand out to you?
No, I met my first hippie in the service. They were just coming into Bogue,
mm-hmm.
and it was a kid from California, of course,
mm-hmm.
Oliver Harris, mm-hmm. and I still have his letters. He and I corresponded for several years,
mm-hmm.
and he was, you know, one of those real intelligent kids, and
mm-hmm.
and the son of a gun was nothing but a problem to the Army,
mm-hmm.
and they finally got rid of him. But you know, just watching him fight the system and beating it every once in a while, it always gave you hope that the system was going to take good care of you. And it did take good care of us, you know. So I'm glad I went in the service. I'm glad I served my 2 years, sir.
Do you think, did he enlist? Or did he
get... No, he got drafted.
He got drafted.
Yeah.
Okay. It seems odd that... He would fight it if he enlisted.
Oh, he just fought the system all the way, you know. Leo Hines was my sergeant in Korea. Leo and I have kept track until he passed here, oh, God, 8, 10 years ago. Never saw each other, but we always kept track of one another. Where are you going? What are you doing? And that kind of thing. Nice young man, but... Just never got together.
Do you ever go to any reunions or anything?
No.
No.
No. No. No. We never did.
Let's see here. What else we have on here? One of the questions is, was there something you did for good luck? And in your box, you had a couple four-leaf clovers.
Oh, yeah.
So were you superstitious? Or?
No, I wasn't superstitious, but in San Francisco, we're sitting on the lawn, and I think that's the first four-leaf clover I ever found. And I picked it, and there it is.
And kept it.
Yeah, I kept it, and I still have it today.
Yeah. When you weren't working, how did you entertain yourself?
You know, I was always interested in forestry. I was always looking. And the hills in Korea were bare. You see that when you go in there and look at some of those pictures. Who had napalmed them when the fighting was going on is what had happened. And I wasn't smart enough to realize that until I got up onto those mountains and walking and looking and waterfalls and stuff like that have always fascinated me. And when I got up onto those mountains, I can, the ground was green and it was baby conifer trees. And I got thinking about that, and of course I ended up being a forester. And I got thinking about that, and that's what had happened. They had been burned. The cones had opened up, the serotonous cones had opened up. And when that happens, then you get seeds growing. And those hillsides, I would love to go back today to see the size of those forests, if those people allowed them. Because anybody that could pick up a stick had, they picked them up and they were burned for cooking and for, you know, most of the people lived in mud houses and they had subterranean, they had like a system underneath of tubes and stuff underneath those buildings. Set on flat rock, and they built a fire on one side. They had a chimney on the other side of the building, and then that heat went through that labor thine or whatever it was, and that heated that floor. That's what heated the house. But it took a lot of wood. And so everybody gathered wood, and they would walk a long, long ways to get a load of wood, and they did. And so there wasn't underbrush, anything like that. There was, and, you know, I thought it was strange when I was there until I discovered what had happened, that they'd been burned off. And can we stop a minute?
Sure.
I'm losing my voice.
Sure. So you got a brand new bulldozer.
I got a brand new bulldozer. About the third day of that.
Wow.
Having that bulldozer. It was muddy, so I took it down into the river, and I put it on a sandbar in the river with about that much water in it, you know. and we'd run it back and forth cleaning the. And I ran over an old Chinese wooden landmine.
Oh.
And being kids, mm-hmm. we always sat up on the armrest of the bulldozer. You mm-hmm. see that armrest right there?
Mm-hmm.
We sat up on that, and it was always on the left hand because you could reach the blade control with your right arm.
Okay.
I ran over it with the right track. When that track broke mm-hmm. from hitting that landmine, it came up and it hit this headache bar. Then a cable ran through,
mm-hmm.
and it hit that, and it slid back off of the bulldozer.
But you didn't get hurt.
So I didn't get hurt, but I'll tell you, I was scared stiff.
I would be.
Yeah, I was just scared. So anyway, that's where my brand new bulldozer went. They put it on a barge,
uh-huh.
took it out to sea, and started it up and drove it into the ocean.
Oh.
That was the end of that bulldozer.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Wow. And
so, anyway, that was a... But that's what we did. Just, you know, drive and mm-hmm. push and push dirt and build bridges.
Now, the four Koreans that worked with you, did they have you over to their house? You said they included you in the family, kind of.
I did. I went to Cy's dad's funeral. Uh-huh. And that was about a 3-dayer.
Uh-huh.
And it it was all in costume, of course, mm-hmm. and no pictures.
Mm-hmm.
Dumb kids, you know, you don't do things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I saw how they did it. And, you know, the more important you were in the village, the higher up the mountain you got buried.
Oh.
And you got buried. You were set up
uh-huh.
so you could watch. You were left food. You were left water for travel. You were left some wine.
Huh.
You were, and it was, you didn't have to work anymore. It was a celebration.
Hmm.
It was a very, very neat thing to see. Lovely costumes.
Mm-hmm.
And there again, you know, you just don't think about
mm-hmm.
a different way of life like mm-hmm. that at all.
So you showed in some of your pictures of the dog.
Yeah.
So food must have been scarce if they...
It was very scarce. You never saw a frog.
Uh-huh.
You never saw a minnow in the water. You never saw, you know,
dogs.
Things like that. Those were eaten.
Yeah.
And they were, you know, they were gathered up.
Mm-hmm.
To watch them plant a crop of rice was just fascinating. You know, when you go across a rice field and you uh-huh. see the whole thing, my kid that worked for me, he was my... houseboy.
Uh-huh.
He kept when I went to the motor pool to work, then I got him too.
Okay.
And I can't remember, but I either gave him $5 or $10 a month to mm-hmm. work for me. And he polished my shoes. He took the laundry home. His mother did the laundry for me.
Hmm.
He made my bed. He kept the room clean and that wow. kind of stuff.
And who's this?
That's a kid from Detroit.
Oh.
Kid by the name of King.
Mm-hmm.
He and I...
Are you in this picture?
I don't know. I doubt it.
Maybe you took it.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. Where was I? Oh. Yeah. Here's the mountain there behind the camp. See, the waterfalls and stuff were all froze.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like here, our camp is way down in here someplace.
Is this you?
That's a kid with me.
Oh, that's somebody with you.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we, you know, we climbed up there. It was mm-hmm. the gate in Old Seoul. you look at pictures of Seoul today, mm-hmm. and, you know, it's a modern city. Mm-hmm. And you see what it looked like when I was there.
Yeah.
See, that was the main gate into old Seoul.
Hmm.
The USO had entertainment for us about, every 6 weeks or so we could have entertainment and come in and
mm-hmm.
they'd put on a floor show or something.
Mm-hmm.
We were stationed that's noodles, see?
Oh, wow.
Drying in the sun.
Yep.
That was all you need. We stayed in Quonset huts. We built Quonset huts.
Mm-hmm.
And they were lovely buildings. We built them for all of the different outfits that were there. Like, right next to us was a camp of Turks.
Mm-hmm.
And the Turks, they were tougher than we were, of course. So they kicked the ends out of the buildings and no heat in them at all. And they slept in them all winter long. And it'd get 20, 25 below zero.
Why didn't they want the ends?
Because they were tougher than we were, and they had to show us they were tougher than
goodness.
We were. And they were. Now I said if the Chinese had come back over when I was there, I was going to find two Turks and get right between them. And let them. There's some of the costumes on, everyday costume. There's a funeral here.
Uh-huh.
Everybody in white, and then they had little black hats that they wore. Mm-hmm. And some of the rice paddies.
Yeah.
If they could get it so that it was big enough to be flat,
mm-hmm.
there was rice planted on it.
Hmm.
And in the spring of the year, you would see like these. Some of these would be rice, and some would be rye, and some would be different other grains,
mm-hmm.
and they'd all be different colors of green and stuff. Just absolutely gorgeous.
Hmm.
There was a Christian cemetery there, which was pretty unusual.
Mm-hmm.
About 3% of the Korean population was Christian, and the rest of it was Buddhist or something of that nature. A lot different.
Mm-hmm.
But very, very rocky. Very, very rough terrain, or extremely hard to work in.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, just the other day now, there was a mudslide in the state of Washington.
Mm-hmm.
It was very unstable soil, just
mm-hmm.
like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it'd start raining, and you didn't know if the whole hillside was going to go down or not.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, they drink a lot.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, that's where I quit drinking. In Korea, at the end of the month, I didn't have any money.
Hmm.
So I just quit.
Mm-hmm.
And by golly, I started having money again.
Huh.
It was...
So it settled you down in basic training and helped you quit drinking in the actual...
Yes, it did.
It was a good thing.
Yeah, sure. See, there's a road mm-hmm. we were building there.
Now, after the war, or after you were in the service.
That's my sister there.
You said you became a forester?
Yes.
So let's talk a little bit about when you were discharged and what you did after that.
Okay. When I went in the service, was about the end of the GI Bill.
Okay.
And I didn't... when I first started thinking about going in, I thought maybe that I could go in, I could get on the GI Bill,
mm-hmm.
and I could get the government to help pay for my education, because I didn't have any money,
mm-hmm.
And so I got thinking about it and thinking mm-hmm. about it. Well, about that time, they took it away.
Uh-huh.
But by then, I'd made up my mind I was going in the service, mm-hmm. and so then I did.
Mm-hmm.
And And it was still a good thing. Mm-hmm. It really, really was. Mm-hmm.
So then when you got out...
When I got out, then I went back to school.
Okay. Even though you had to pay for it yourself?
Even if I had to pay. Well, I worked my way through.
Okay.
And so I went back to school, and I got my degree from the University of Wisconsin at Stevens Point.
Okay.
And then I went to work for the Department of Natural Resources.
Okay. How many years did you work there?
I worked 32 years for the DNR.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been retired since 93.
Wow.
January of 93. So I've had a long retirement.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Yeah.
Hmm. Well, some of the questions ask, what was your homecoming like? How did you feel when you arrived at home?
Yeah. You know, we came home, and there was no war going on.
Mm-hmm.
But I always said the reason that there wasn't any going on is because I was there protecting everybody. Yeah. Nobody paid any attention to that, of course. But good.
Mm-hmm.
You got that done with. Mm-hmm. And my dad especially, mm-hmm. I think was quite happy that I had went in the service, because he had not been allowed to go during World War II.
Hmm.
He was a forest ranger,
mm-hmm.
and they just knew the Japanese were going to burn the United States down.
Mm-hmm.
And for that reason, anybody that had a classification as a forest ranger then at that time was not allowed to enlist or even...
What did they think? Why, they just wanted them here?
Oh, yeah. They wanted them here to protect the forest.
Okay.
And they protected the forest, and mm-hmm. and because we needed the wood for the for the war effort.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's my grandfather had been a forester,
mm-hmm.
forest ranger also, mm-hmm. and worked for the state of Wisconsin also. And
mm-hmm.
so I was third generation. And,
mm-hmm.
And then that's it. I guess that's it.
Okay. Well, is there anything else you can think of that you might want to say? I guess one question I always ask at the end is, looking back, how do you feel about your military experiences and what has that meant to your life?
I think that it really helped.
Uh-huh.
One of the main things that it helped is running crews and mm-hmm. stuff like that. I got a lot of experience working with people that had a limited amount of English,
mm-hmm.
And I had a very limited amount of Korean
mm-hmm.
Language that I picked up by the time that I was running that motor pool. And just to work with people and to show them that you were interested in their jobs and stuff like that, I think that all carried over into working at DNR. In fact, when it come to organize for large fires and stuff like that, I had a pretty easy time doing that, because of my experience mm-hmm. of working
mm-hmm.
with other people,
mm-hmm.
other types of people.
Yeah. Good. Well, thank you. I'm going to stop this now.